Hey, folks.
What's going on? It's Chris and Will, the only people who matter. This episode is actually brought to you by theonlypeoplewhomatter.com. Now, that might seem a little redundant, but I think we need to sponsor ourselves, because nobody else seems to be wanting to do it.
Yeah, we haven't got people giving us money for sponsorships yet, so...
Which I find is just a little odd.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. I mean, you gotta put in the time and the hard work. We haven't put in much of either one of those, so...
Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, we've never really approached any businesses or companies or people about it, so...
I don't know if that's... I guess at the same time, when we approach people to be on the podcast, they don't seem that thrilled about it, so...
That's true.
Why would, I guess, people want to sponsor a show that no one even wants to be on?
You know, I don't know, really. So, I can't really blame anybody, I guess.
We'll get them. Well, I mean, paper towels.
Yeah. What about them?
I've been using a lot of them lately. Maybe a paper towel company can...
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Everybody has stamps.com. Everybody has, you know, fucking Hulu Plus. Who is representing the paper towel companies?
Braun? Is that the name of it?
That is a name.
Brawny?
Something like Brawny, that? Brawny, I think, yeah.
That's not the paper towels I have right now.
But, I mean... You could lie and say it is if they're going to give us some money.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, now that, you know, we've got a puppy going through a lot of paper towels.
Oh, I get you. I wasn't understanding why you were going through so many paper towels, but...
to the bathroom a lot, sometimes in the house.
Chris, why don't you tell the folks at home about your puppy?
He's an asshole. His name's Wrigley. I'm a Cubs fan. My girlfriend, not as much. It was her idea.
But it's a cute name for a dog, regardless. Yeah. I kind of want to bring the mic over to Wrigley. Is sleeping about 5 feet away from us right now, and he's snoring.
Yeah, let's catch that one. Let's see if we can get that. That's that little guy.
Yeah, right. Hopefully you picked that up at home, but I'll try to increase the audio on that one.
But either way, yeah, he's a little boxer puppy. Maybe for the first dog that my girlfriend and I got, maybe could have went with something a little more tame, but we didn't. We went all out and got a boxer, and he's insane.
Insane in the membrane.
Mm. Insane in the brain.
Do you regret it, or do you...
I don't regret it, yeah. But I mean...
You've had him for how long now? A month and a half?
Probably closer to 2 months.
2 months?
A month and a half, yeah, 2 months, whatever, somewhere around there.
You know what they say, six weeks with the puppy will make you like it more.
Mm.
They're saying that.
Yeah, I don't dislike it, it's hard. It's hard. I feel like it's like worse than having a kid. I don't know,
for sure. I'm gonna go with probably.
Like harder, not worse, I guess. People who have kids, I don't think.
They hate their lives.
This is the worst.
Have you ever talked to somebody who has a kid? Well, they are kind of like them, that. Yeah.
But then you talk to certain people like August, and he's just it's the greatest thing ever. Having kids, man, it's great.
Fucking assholes like August.
Yeah. Trying to make everyone else who hates kids look bad.
Yeah, people like that. I mean, people like that.
Well, I gotta tell you, though, it is... I thought he'd pick up... He's picked up on some stuff a lot quicker than I expected. But other things, he just will not pick up on so far, so...
For instance, playing with a toy without having to shove it in down his throat?
Yeah. I have to repeatedly hit him in the face with a toy before he gains interest in it. And he's like, well, I guess, fuck this thing. I'll bite it, I guess.
How is he in tricks?
He sits, he shakes, he lays. Usually you have to have something that he wants for him to do it. He doesn't just do it usually if he's just like across the room and you tell him to sit. He doesn't usually, but...
Does he shake, like, on command, or he just figures out when you put your hand out?
No, if you have a treat, and you show him that you have a treat, he'll sit down immediately without you saying anything, and then he'll try to shake. Like, he thinks that he has it figured out. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is what you want me to do.
Yeah, huh. I'll just fucking do it right away, save us
so,
all.
Yeah, he tries to do it right away, so I, every time he does that, I don't do shake. I'm like, no, knock it off.
Yeah, nope, not happening, douche.
Yeah, he's got some tricks like that down, but it's the whole, like, trying to get him to get off of you when he's biting you. And
yeah, I'm noticing I think he just thinks you're playing when you try to get him to stop.
Oh, yeah, he definitely does. But trying to tell him, like, down and stuff like that, he tried to use, like, a stern voice, and sometimes he responds, most of the time he doesn't, and just keeps trying to play with you by biting your hands and feet.
I'm not going to say it's the worst type of playing. Like, he could be raping you. He could.
That's a good point. I mean, probably not, because I don't think that...
his penis would even be able to do that?
Yeah. I don't think he's got his red rocket in yet.
I'll agree that that was kind of a dumb thing I said there. But I don't know for sure.
Anyways, enough about that prick.
Yeah, moving right along.
Moving right along.
So last night, Chris and I each did something. Not together, some would say separate. Chris watched the All-Star game. That's a baseball game, like a man would do. I went to the movies and saw Planet of the Apes. Men go to the movies too, but I was going to say the fault in our stars, but I just didn't even want to go there. So
yeah. Don't lie to the masses.
The 12 and a half. That's what I was going to do. See how many people are listening to this.
Oh, they call it the 12 and a half. We got to call it, like, the 5 and a half.
Yeah, TJ Miller's getting 12. We're definitely getting less than that. Hey, we had 3 visitors yesterday.
Hey-o. Well, keep the visits up.
I don't know what we're currently at in terms of...
We're not very active on our website. Check it out, guys.
Yeah. Hey, I've been posting stuff recently.
Oh, you posted your Back to the Future one?
I posted Star Wars Back to the Future and just a little checklist for a successful life. Did you see that?
I did not see any of this. We work well together.
yes. Believe it or not, we see each other every day.
and at no point did it get brought up that... new stuff was posted on the website.
Yes,
I saw the Star Wars one. If you guys want some fun facts about the movie Star Wars, or the movies, I guess.
Yeah, it's just kind of all of them.
But also, Back to the Future. Fun facts.
Yeah, check out
that
the...
That you don't get anywhere else.
Check out the website. We could read off a couple just to give them a little preview of the remix.
Give them a preview.
One thing you might not know about Star Wars... despite playing famous space cowboy Han Solo in over 2 Star Wars films, some would say 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harrison Ford has actually never been to space. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
No, I don't know.
If you
would have
asked me to guess, I would have been pretty 50-50 on, you know, whether he had been or not.
It really was a coin flip, I think.
I think so. But he has not been?
No, he's not. Nope, it's been confirmed. Here's one. James Earl Jones, as everybody knows, plays the voice of Darth Vader, but he was not actually the actor in the suit. Did you know that? Okay. But did you know that the actor who played the body of Darth Vader, his name is David Prowse, once provided the voice of James Earl Jones in a cartoon about James Earl Jones' life?
I did not know that one either.
I don't feel like many people did.
What's the cartoon called?
I don't know. I didn't see it. But,
you just saw the...
I just know the fact.
You just found that fact somewhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's 10 of these Star Wars facts. So, you should check all those out.
Well, maybe Back to the Future. Give them a preview of Back to the Future one.
Yeah, we'll give you a couple of the Back to the Future
things you might not know, folks, about the movies that you love.
Here, this one is pretty incredible. It took a team of 3 people to come up with the film's title, Back to the Future. Because Back to the Future was carefully constructed by a team of 3 literature professors from Yale to be a reverse palindrome. A reverse palindrome means it's spelled exactly the same forward as it is spelled normally. Are you familiar with a palindrome?
All right.
Same forward and backwards. This is a reverse palindrome. It's the same forward as it is just normally.
Oh, and yeah. It took three guys from Yale to figure out how to make that happen?
Yeah. And so it just
that is interesting.
Turned out to be Back to the Future.
Three Yale dudes. I don't know. I feel like I could have come up with that. They probably could have paid me less for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the Yale guys actually paid Robert Zemeckis, the director of Back to the Future,
to
come up with the title. Oh. Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, this one is just kind of crazy. Do you know who Cher Lloyd is?
Oh, yeah.
The British pop singer?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Cher Lloyd is a British pop singer.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I couldn't tell you one song she sings. I don't know any of them. But she's very popular. Christopher Lloyd and Cher Lloyd share quite a bit in common, other than just their last name being Lloyd. So both their last names are Lloyd. Both first names start with a CH. Already, your mind is blown. I know.
Yeah.
Cher was born in July. That's the same month that Back to the Future was released. Now, it's not the same year. Don't get too crazy. Okay, yeah. But it's the same month. Christopher Lloyd appeared on the TV series Cheers in one episode. Cher, Cheers. That's pretty much the
same
word.
Those are almost the same.
Yeah, you can't spell Cheers without Cher. Back to the Future held the number one spot in the box office until it was kicked out by National Lampoon's European Vacation. Europe is the continent Cher Lloyd is from.
Oh.
Cher Lloyd says her favorite film is Hocus Pocus, starring Bette Midler. Bette Midler was in a film called Parental Guidance with Billy Crystal, and it was reviewed once by a guy named Christopher Lloyd. And I posted the link to that, if you don't believe me. And finally...
It's not Christopher Lloyd?
It's not the actual actor, Christopher Lloyd. It's just another guy named Christopher Lloyd. But that's
obviously,
still,
they have plenty in common, those two.
Oh, yeah. And
if they've got stuff in common, then clearly...
Exactly. Yeah. And then finally, and this is the most legit, I think, in the very first scene of Back to the Future, Marty McFly is on the phone with Doc Brown, and he announces that he's late for school. He's like, I'm late for school! And he takes off, and then The Power of Love starts playing, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Cher's second album title is Sorry I'm Late.
Oh.
Obviously a reference to Back to the Future.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a bunch more just like that, folks. Nine total of Back to the Future.
Check out the site. What is that website
it's,
again?
It's theonlypeoplewhomatter.com.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, pretty easy to figure out. You can
you
Google
can't figure
it.
Figure it out, you can Bing it.
Yeah, you can Google it, and it'll come up on the second or third page. You can Bing it, and it'll be the number one fucking result.
I think it might not be the number one anymore. I think it's number three. We should recheck that one. Bing, don't let us down. But, still, if you do let us down a little bit, Bing, fuck Google either way.
Nope, number one.
Nice, we're still number one.
Out of 75 million results.
75 million results, we're number one. That speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty
cool. Can we get sponsors because of that?
Here's the thing. Nobody seems to really care for Bing in this world. I've heard it the punchline of several jokes. We love you, Bing, so throw your support our way because we're throwing all the support
yes.
at you.
Bing, maybe we can help each other out.
I'm just saying.
You help us out, maybe throw us on one of your little news things or something, get people clicking on our website.
Oh, yeah.
We'll advertise you, so we'll get more listeners that are already using Bing.
Yep.
Advertise you.
Yep.
So they can use you. Come on, Bing.
I don't see how this is a win-lose situation
Bing?
At all.
What company came
Microsoft?
Up with Microsoft.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
A struggling company out of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft.
Microsoft actually, I believe, has a goal, and that's to become, huge again. I mean, they're not small by any means.
Right.
But, I mean,
but,
come
you
on,
know,
the Xbox
whole...
One... That's all I have to say. It was not much of a success.
Right. I mean, it did well, but
did
not
right, but
is
yeah.
it as they expected.
But I heard something that was like, Microsoft, let's take over the world again.
Yeah, I heard that. That's their new slogan.
I think so.
Yeah.
Microsoft, what we're saying is we want to help you out.
Yeah, we're going to help you take over
the world. Can I get some of that Bill Gates money? That's what I'm saying. Come on.
I'm binging right now. Let's take over the world again by Microsoft. And let's see if this comes up with anything.
Instead of that, you should just bing new Microsoft slogans. Because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not let's take over the world again. But
it might not be.
I think they're pretty sick and tired of Google throwing their weight around. Because Google's really trying to put their... They're trying to dip their balls in everyone's coffee. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. They're always putting their balls in people's coffees.
They're trying to get in on everything. And you know what? Just knock it off, Google. Microsoft wants in on that action, too. And they're getting there. They're going to get there.
Yeah. Okay, Microsoft's slogan for Windows 95 is, where do you want to go today? In 2010, it was, be what's next. Here, PC World says it's Microsoft's new slogan is, hey, it could be worse.
That sounds awful. That's the worst slogan I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Microsoft, would I copyright? Would I TM? I don't know what I would do with Let's Take Over the World Again. Come talk to me, though. You got our address.
Yep, theonlypeoplewhomatter.com.
Only people who matter, Microsoft. If you want to talk to me about maybe licensing that slogan, I don't know how it works, we'll have our people talk to your people.
People will talk. People who matter will talk.
Yeah, because Microsoft, let's be fair, you guys matter too. So
yeah, you're
be
not that bad.
Part of the only people who matter.
So the only people who matter are Chris, Will,
Microsoft.
Bill Gates, and the entire Microsoft crew. And, yeah, I mean, it's just...
And the 5.5 that listen to
and
this
the 5.5
podcast.
I'm just saying, you know, we're a close-knit family. We gotta support each other, because who else is gonna do it?
Being very generous was 5.5, by the way.
Yeah.
But either way, all right, let's get back. What movie did you go see?
Oh, yeah, I saw Planet of the Apes.
All right, now I've never
seen... Excuse
me,
The dawn of the Planet of the Apes, not the rise of.
All right, so I've never seen any of the Planet of the Apes films. Let's just clarify the lineage, I guess, of these films. The first one, Charlton Heston.
Yes.
That was the Planet of the Apes. I get that. Then there was a remake, I believe, right?
I'm gonna look this up. There's probably been like five in the 70s.
Oh, really? There was that many?
Oh, God. Probably. 1974 Film Marathon. What?
Nope, that's not...
20th Century Fox wants you to go ape. Alright, let's see what we got here. What is all this shit? Characters. Oh, films. In 1968, there was Planet of the Apes, and then the next one, which doesn't have a year. So, it's Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Those are the first five, so that's probably through the 60s and 70s, maybe into the 80s.
They don't have years on those?
No, only the first one and then the 2001.
Alright, so 2001 was the Marky Mark one, right?
Yes, Mark Wahlberg and Paul Giamatti, Michael Clark Duncan.
Never saw that one. Alright, now that is a remake of the original.
Yes, that was like a reboot... A reboot, we'll
but
say.
It kind of followed the same storylines as the original. They're like, ah, oh, it's a Planet of the Apes.
Kind
of,
yeah. I don't really remember the old ones, so...
Now, I do recall watching part of the Charlton Heston one on TV one time. Again, never saw the whole thing. I thought it was kind of awful.
That's the thing about them. Like, maybe in the 60s, because they, you know, they had those campy kind of fucking weirdo movies back in the day. Maybe it would have been enjoyable then, but I think they're just awful.
I don't know what it was, and I feel like part of it was definitely, I just started watching it partway through, but it's not like I was missing a whole lot. The guy got, like, kidnapped by some apes or some shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And they talked.
I don't know. My mom liked them, so I remember seeing them as a kid, at least a few of the old ones. I don't know if I've seen all of them, but I didn't care for them. I always thought they were pretty stupid.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is supposed to be how a Planet of the Apes came to exist.
Okay, so Rise of the Planet of the Apes... I've not seen it, but I've been
that
told...
That came out
in
2 years ago?
Oh, they have the dates right here. I'm an idiot. That came out in 2011.
3 years ago.
That starred James Franco, and he's a scientist dude who they're working on different cures for, like, Alzheimer's, and James Franco's father has Alzheimer's. He's working with this ape, Caesar, particularly, but they're working with these apes, and then they have to, like, kill all these apes because whatever they're doing to them is, like, fucking them up or something, so they kill all these apes. But Caesar is born, and he's, like, a little baby. They don't kill him, and he has, like, the whatever vaccine shit, medicine shit in him, so he grows up with it, so he, like, is able to be really, really smart, and he can learn things really quickly, and...
Does he speak?
I don't know if he does that all in the first one, but he does in the second one.
What's the second movie?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is the second
one. Oh, alright.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes was 3 years ago, and so...
So he's in this new one. Caesar.
Caesar, yeah.
Not James Franco, though.
James Franco's not, no.
Because he died.
No.
Oh.
It's kind of like led you to believe he's probably dead because most everybody in the world is dead. Because the whole movie goes through, James Franco and Caesar are like buddies. Caesar likes him, but then he gets like taken away, puts in his compound. He starts training other monkeys to be smart like him. They all break out and break free. Then I guess it ends with kind of like a battle between monkeys and humans, like on the Golden Gate Bridge. And during throughout all this, like there's kind of like a bad guy who somehow gets infected with this ape disease, I think, like, throughout from the medicine or something.
All right.
He spreads it throughout the whole world. Like, the movie ends with him, like, getting, like, a pilot sick, and the pilot, like, gets on an airplane, and then they show, like, a map of, like,
so it's very similar to the app that I have on my phone.
Yes. Yes.
Called, I forget the name of it.
Called Make Everybody Die
It's a P word.
Pandemic.
Pandemic, yes.
Yes. It's that exact thing is how this movie ends. All
right.
Then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes starts, you see the world getting infected, and it's like news reports and shit of like people just getting sick and dying and yada, yada, yada. It's 10 years later, and you're with the monkeys, they're living up in the redwoods, and they've pretty much like built this little colony.
And they're like, let's take over this fucking place.
Well, they kind of already have. Like, they don't want to go F with humans, because Caesar likes humans, even though some humans have been bad to him. And a lot of these other monkeys... Like, they all just respect the shit out of Caesar, because he's, like, their head monkey. But this other one, Koba, he hates humans because they beat the shit out of him and tortured him and cut him and did all this stuff. So he doesn't understand why Caesar likes him. Some of the other monkeys never were around humans, so they're just like, I don't know, you know, whatever. But they respect whatever he does. And he says, hey, the humans are there, we're here, like, let's just deal with it. But then...
We can coexist. We don't have to fuck with them. They don't have to fuck with us.
Exactly. And they mentioned like they haven't seen any humans in like 2 years, so they think they might all be dead. And then Caesar's like, you know, well, the humans destroyed themselves, like, you know, it's kind of their own fault. Well, then shortly thereafter, two of the monkeys are walking through the woods, and then and they don't speak, they just use sign language. But then a little while later, they like Caesar starts to speak words. And he starts to form sentences and stuff, and some of the other monkeys do as well, but...
Just without hearing people talk.
Well, I mean, he grew up with humans and stuff, and...
But how wouldn't he have learned? Anyways.
Yeah, anyway,
It's a stupid fucking plot hole that I don't like. Go ahead.
It might be in the first one. I don't know. I haven't seen the first one. So maybe he learned to talk in the first one. But he didn't talk, like, very much, but then he speaks later, but, like, so then a human's there and shoots one of the monkeys, and then, like, all the monkeys come, and they're, like, yelling at him, and he's like, go, leave. And then the people are like, what the fuck? That monkey just talked. And then they, like, run away. They go back to their town, where Gary Oldman is, like, running shit, and he's like, there's monkeys up there, we need to go kill them. And then the lead actor guy, who I don't even know what his name is, he's just like, let's not... Like, I can go talk to him. He's like, he's not just an ape. Like, he is smart and, like, whatever. And they're like, you're an idiot. They give him 3 days. They're like, we'll give you 3 days. Because they need to go up there because there's a dam that they can get power because they have no power. And so he's like, give me 3 days. I'll go up there and just let me talk to him. He goes back up there. They're all like, screw you. You shot one of us. He's like, show me, you know, I'll show you that, you know, you can trust us. And then it's just about, like, them building trust between each other. Well, the problem is, like, the crew that he brings up there, the guy who shot the monkey, he's kind of like a bad seed, you know, like, I hate monkeys, and so he's always fucking shit up. Well, then, in the monkey group, like, Caesar wants to trust humans, because he remembers James Franco.
Yeah.
And so, like, the main guy and Caesar have this, like, relationship that they're trying to build, but one of the monkeys, Koba, who got tortured by humans, hates humans, so he's trying to fuck shit up. So then, inevitably, like, a war starts between the humans and the monkeys, and so it, I thought it was incredible. The special effects alone are just insane. Like, I was telling Chris earlier, I was staring at the screen, being like, alright, this is not CGI, this is a real monkey, right? And then he would do something like talk or shoot a gun. I'm like, alright, well, clearly it's not real. And then, like, I just kept thinking that, though. I was like, this has to be real. Like, there's no way this is CGI. It's so good.
That's incredible. Which reminds me that we can use that technology. We've got the technology now.
You got it.
To reboot a film. We've been trying to come up with a reboot, guys. Folks, guys and gals.
Kind of a new idea.
Because we've decided that if, you know, we ever wanted to make a film, it's probably got to be a reboot, because that's all that Hollywood's throwing money out toward.
Pretty much.
Also, recent reboots have been successful, i.e. Planet of the Apes, 21 Jump Street, followed up by 22 Jump Street, really successful films there.
Yep.
And every other movie made is basically another movie.
Any movie in the last 8 years is probably a sequel or a remake, but...
Or they just copied some sort of, you know, plot from another movie, but just put different characters and shit in it. Anyways, Harry and the Hendersons.
There it is.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier today. The problem that I have with it, that I think I can get over, you know... It's going to be really hard to come up with a better cast.
John Lithgow.
You cannot improve on John Lithgow. That's just a fact.
Melinda
you know who
Dillon.
I mean, Bruce Willis. Let's just throw him in that fucking movie. He'll be the dad.
Bruce is now attached to do this film.
That's how it works. We'll send him a script, but...
The mom?
Melinda...
Melinda Dillon.
Melinda Dillon. Yep. Can't do better than that because she's the greatest movie mom in the history of any movie ever. Or movies, I guess, because in multiple movies she's been in where she's been a mom.
Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story. Harry and the Hendersons. Those are the only two examples
that's
you
all you need.
Get and need, yes. She's awesome. The only thing I was thinking is maybe the kids, maybe you can improve on that, but the little kid, Ernie's the fucking man in that movie. You can't do much better than that kid. What's he do at, like, the beginning of a movie, like, holds up a rabbit, and, like, John Lithgow's, like, carrying him, and Ernie's carrying the rabbit, and he's like, "Hey, we got dinner," is what John Lithgow says, and Ernie says, "And I shot it," or whatever. And it's awesome. That kid's awesome.
I'm checking Ernie out here. His name is Joshua Rudoy. He's born on December 9th in Encino, so he's an Encino man.
All right. How old is he?
He's born in 75. So 85, 95, 2005, he's 39.
He could be the dad.
He'd be the dad. Clearly.
Because he probably looks like John Lithgow now.
I'm sure he does.
That's how it would work.
He hasn't done a whole lot. He was in a TV series for 2 episodes, then Alf for 1 episode, some shitty Walt Disney
thing. He seems like he would be an Alf. Seems like he should be like the...
A Beauty and the Beast TV series in 87, and then Flatliners. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I didn't. I
heard
about it.
Star-studded. And then a show called What a Dummy, where he seemed to have a pretty big role. And that's it. So
right.
He could be dead.
Well, maybe.
Well, it doesn't say a death date, so he's probably alive.
All right. How do we improve this movie? Again, we don't really have to focus on improving it, because what reboots, you know, have? There's plenty that haven't. I mean, Bad
sure.
News Bears, for
yeah.
instance. First off, I just hated the casting of Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you have to either just change the movie completely and just try to steal its name and ride that name to some sort of payday, but just change it completely and piss everyone off, or at least find characters that, you know, are somewhat similar and going to be kind of the same to what they used to have. Like, Walter Matthau, People loved him.
Walter Matthau, yes, is very lovable.
Billy Bob Thornton, very unlikable.
He's definitely polarizing, is the term.
Yes.
You either love him or hate him. And I've always been a meh, don't really care for him kind of guy until Fargo. Now I'm starting to really like him.
All right.
But it's in that particular role. Like, I have seen him in probably 15 other things, and I'm like, somebody else could have played that better.
Yeah. That's what I always think. The only thing, he's good at playing an asshole, but, like, he's more of, like, a creepy asshole, like, that I'm just like, he might rape someone in this movie, which I didn't like for Bad News Bears.
Yeah, not really the type of movie.
It was good for Bad Santa.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It was good for that. I thought you're not going to cast that role much better.
I forgot about that he was in that movie. He was pretty good in that.
But yeah, the casting, it's going to be hard to improve on that.
Amanda just sent me a picture of a man with a pink beard at McDonald's.
Well, that's pretty normal, so...
I'll put that up on the website.
We'll put that on the website. Guys with pink beards.
Yeah, that's a thing now. So, put all your pictures of guys with pink beards on our website, because I think you don't know how to do that. I don't know why they would be able to put them on our website.
Guys probably can't post on our website, so...
But if you can, if you can figure out a way. Chris, I do want to tell you, I looked up Bad News Bears, the remake, and it has a 5.8 rating on IMDb. Would you say it's good or not very good?
I'd say that's way better than I expected.
Harry and the Hendersons also has a 5.8 rating. So, a movie that you say cannot be improved upon, and a movie you say was so bad, have the exact same rating on this. Let's see what the original Bad News Bears has, though. 7.3.
All right, yeah.
Get out of there. Can we remake The Truman Show?
They did. They remade that into the movie Ed.
Ed, yep, they sure did.
Ed TV.
Was it? Oh, yeah, Ed TV. Because Ed was the monkey movie with Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
let's reboot that.
Oh, my, we should.
All right. Are there movies, is this a fad that is long since passed, animals playing sports, or can we reboot that? Because CGI would be incredible. Like, what we have now.
That's true.
The technology we have, we can reboot those. We have the technology.
Yes, let's, my internet doesn't seem to be working here. Ed just doesn't come up. Let's see what Ed got as a rating, and then we'll just beat that. That'll be our goal.
That cannot be hard. I got to imagine it's like a 3.2 or something.
2.5. So literally, we just film a monkey walking around. That's going to get a better rating than that.
We should get David Schwimmer.
First of all, Schwimmer is
the
man.
We have to stick to a friend, right?
Oh, we have to. I don't think we have a point. I don't think we have a choice. I want to see if David Schwimmer is going on, because he's pretty awesome. So if you guys have any ideas for things we should reboot. Another one we talked about was Weekend at Bernie's, but another one we feel like, what can we bring to it that's going to make it so much better?
As much as I actually like Weekend at Bernie's, I also think it's the dumbest idea in the history of the world.
It absolutely is, but the fact that they pulled it off not only once, but twice,
yes,
blows my mind.
I don't know how they did this. It really showed balls. Like, hey, this is really stupid, because this isn't how death works at all.
Yeah.
There's things like rigor mortis and just the whole decaying of a body. You have a dead body around for an entire weekend out in the sun, and don't they like drop them in the water and stuff like that? I mean, it's gonna smell bad.
Oh, yeah, they...
People are gonna know.
You certainly think so. I'm finding something here called Weekend at Bernie's 3. But... Oh, I think it's the name of an episode of a show. Never mind. That would have been awesome.
My mind was blown the first time I ever saw Weekend at Bernie's, like, from the beginning. Because I always remember seeing parts of it and clips of it and stuff like that of when he's dead. And
but they got never him dressed when he's alive.
And he, like, with that stupid smile on his face and sunglasses. And I was just like, that guy's he was, when he was alive, probably just a goofy, happy-go-lucky guy. But no, he was the biggest dickhead boss that they had ever. Like, dressed up in a suit, and I was like, what? What is this?
Wait, do you think that Horrible Bosses is sort of a remake of Weekend at Bernie's? It's not at all, but it has to do with bosses who are dicks and wanting them dead.
Kinda.
Because Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman, is that his name? It sounds weird. Sarah Silverman. Jonathan Silverman. Yeah, okay. I was like, that's her brother. What is the plot of the movie? Aren't they wanted for the murder of Bernie? So they have to pretend like he's alive?
I don't remember. I feel like, so they don't get, like, I honestly don't remember. Because it's so ridiculous and stupid that I don't think you watch it for the plot of the movie. If you ever ask, why is this happening during that movie, you're going to start to actually hate it even more because it doesn't make sense. You have to watch it for the, pretty much the physical humor of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's honestly a pretty incredible movie when you really think about it. It has a 6.3 rating, which is pretty good.
What? Weekend at Bernie's has better than Harry and the Hendersons?
By 0.5. Let's see what all Robert Klein, the writer of Weekend at Bernie's, has written. Let's see what else he's done. Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2, European Vacation, the movie that dethroned Back to the Future. Where's Papa? I don't know what the hell that is. Camp Grizzly. I thought that was something I knew, but as soon as I said it, I don't. A few episodes of MASH. And some other shit that I don't know. Walk Like a Man. Sounds like something I know. Boy Raised by Wolves is reunited as an adult with his real family. Starring Christopher Lloyd, Howie Mandel, and Cloris Leachman.
I would watch that.
Anybody would.
Cloris Leachman. Did you know that Cloris Leachman is from Iowa?
I did, but only because you told me.
Have we talked about this on the podcast?
No, I don't believe so.
Folks, we're from Iowa. We're pretty used to no one being from Iowa.
Yep.
Cloris Leachman, on the other hand, is from Iowa. She's from Des Moines. That's the capital of Iowa. Her family, when she was a youngster, her dad owned and ran a lumber company, that still exists in Des Moines today.
That's actually pretty incredible, considering she was born in 1926, so that's, her father's family owned a lumber company. So it says right there. So that is a fact, Chris. You're not making that up.
I'm not making things up. We might pull your chain every once in a while, which, backstory on the expression, yanking the chain, which I am not yanking your chain on that last story or this one. Miners.
M-I-N-E-R-S or O-R-S?
E-R-S.
Okay.
They used to, you know, they were down in the mines for long periods of time. They would have a cart on, you know, the rail system that they had in the mines. And it was basically a toilet, right? But it was on a cart.
Right.
So what they would do is they would take a length of chain.
Two chains.
And they would put it underneath the cart, like, so, like, under the wheel,
okay.
Not really under it, but, you know, in front of the wheel, so the cart wouldn't roll on them, and then, that way, they could also hear if someone, because they're practical jokers back in the day, they would come up and pull the chain so people would shit, and while they're shitting, they'd start rolling away, because it was dark in a mine, and you couldn't see, so they used chains so they could hear if people, like, yanked it out of there, they could hear the chain, and then they could, like, jump off or whatever, so they didn't ride to God knows where on a shit tank.
That's an actual thing.
That's a thing.
Wow. Where did you hear that? Cracked.com.
No.
Oh.
Don't remember. Maybe how the states got their shapes, something like that.
Interesting. That actually is pretty cool. I always wonder about things like that, like if that's really where the expressions come from, or if somebody just makes that up. Because what was I telling you today? Oh, Dick's Last Resort.
Dick's Last Resort, the restaurant chain that isn't big, but it's in several large cities. I think Seattle, Dallas,
Chicago,
places like that.
Yeah, and today I just completely made up a backstory of how Dick's Last Resort got its name and told Chris.
I bought it.
Yeah, he was a little hesitant at first, but then was like, yeah, all right, I'll go for it. And I was lying to him. I was yanking his chain.
You were yanking that chain.
I was.
And I rolled away in my shit tank. My shit cart.
It's true.
All right.
Well, we are at about the 41-minute mark.
Well, I will say this. Whoever listens to this episode can't come away saying they didn't learn anything.
That's
unless
true.
You knew everything that we talked about, then I guess you can, but
I think between the Star Wars facts, the Back to the Future facts, the yanking the chain fact,
and the Cloris Leachman,
fact,
if you knew all of those things,
you should be in the only people who matter.
Yeah.
So, without any sort of proof, just let us know that you knew all those things and you're in.
Yep.
So, hit us up at twitter.com.
Maybe we'll have you on the podcast, because you probably have some fun facts and some knowledge to drop on the people. The masses, as I like to call them.
The masses with asses.
We're reaching the masses.
We are. We really are.
Yeah. I mean, hit us up. Onlypeoplewhomatter.com. I think it's got email on there.
I believe so.
If it doesn't, you got our Twitters.
Yeah.
People Who Matter.
PPL Who Matter.
At
PPL Who Matter.
All right. Good talking to you.
We'll have one for you next time.